General Meetings, Montreal, October 1974. Gospel by Eric Pilkington.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Number 25. Life at best is very brief.
Yeah.
some of us were on a ferry in St. John's, New Brunswick, and the time had come for the ship to pull into the dock and for the passengers to get off. And you know, dear friends, as I sung this hymn, I thought of a man who was on that dock laughing and joking with his fellow men. The gangplank was put down onto the ship. But as it went down, the ship was a little distance out from the dock. It wasn't close enough. And as that plank went down, that young man on his machine went down that plank. But the plank did not go on the boat. It went down into the water. That young man only had time, dear friends, to give one shout of terror, and he was ushered into eternity like that. Oh, how solemn! Life at best is very brief. And there may be someone in this company tonight that tonight will be your last night on this earth. Oh, this is a gospel meeting, and how solemn it is to know the way of salvation and not to avail yourselves of it. What a solemn thing it is. Oh, this is a gospel meeting. And you know, dear friends, there are two classes of people in this company. There are those who are saved and those who are lost. There are those who, when the Lord Jesus comes, will be changed in a moment and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a wonderful day that will be for those of us who know the Lord. But friends, the other class who know not the Lord Jesus will be left behind on this sea and to come under the judgment of God. Oh, friends, may the Spirit of God speak to your heart tonight. If you have not decided for Christ, oh, may you do it tonight. We might just sing another hymn, number 10. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, His love great and free. Number 10. There is a Savior. friends, I'd like to bring before you some of the truths of God's Word that God wants you and I to remember. Remember. We turn to the book of Deuteronomy, first chapter 9. The 9th chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. What a solemn word to the children of Israel. When the Spirit of God calls upon them to remember and forget not. And dear friends, as they would remember their life's history, surely it was a history of rebellion and disobedience against God. And friend, if you are still in your sins and have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is a picture of you. You are rebelling against God. Oh, what a solemn thing it is to rebel against God. And so the children of Israel were called upon to remember and forget not. And oh, friends, you have heard the gospel many times. And you have read, no doubt, the Word of God. And perhaps you have many verses in your memory up here. But perhaps it has never sunk down into your heart. Perhaps tonight you might be able to remember gospel verses. Oh, what a solemn gospel we had brought before us last night. And dear friends, you and I have a memory. Yes, God has equipped you and I with a memory. And we can remember. Oh, friends, tonight, will you stop and remember the one that we sung in that hymn? That one who hung on Calvary's cross? Who suffered, who bled and died for your sins? Oh, friend, will you stop and remember that scene on Calvary's cross? Why did the Lord Jesus allow wicked men to nail him to that cross? Oh, friend, it was because he loved your soul and mine. It was because your life's history and mine is a history of rebellion against God. Oh, yes, if we remember tonight, our thoughts can go back to the Garden of Eden. And what do we find there in the beginning of Genesis? We find that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And if we allow our memories to remind us, dear friends, we'll think of Cain and Abel. And what is the result of our thinking about Cain and Abel? Why we think of Abel, who brought a perfect offering to God. Yes, he brought that little lamb. That lamb had to die in order that Abel might have an offering to approach God. But what is the result? We find that Cain's offering was refused. we find that Cain was angry. He was angry against God because God could not accept his sacrifice. He was angry against God. And you know, God had to remind him in the fourth of Genesis, why are you angry? Dear friends, why is it that people get angry when they hear the gospel of the love of God? Why is it that people get angry when they hear the precious name of Jesus mentioned? Why? My friend, God said to Cain, sin lieth at the door. And dear friends, we need to acknowledge this. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to remember tonight that there is none righteous. No, not one. Friend, are you willing to acknowledge this tonight to God? Are you willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner? Oh, I want to tell you, we can offer you a gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life. If you will acknowledge your guilt and your sin against God, if you will confess that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a gift that God is offering you tonight. How about it? Have you accepted that gift? Oh, we're reminded during these meetings how we have to make a choice. How about it tonight? Have you, friend, made that choice of receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Or have you made the other choice and rejected Him? Oh, we trust tonight that you'll be wise. You know, it tells in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, it says this, oh, that they were wise. Friend, tonight God is saying to you, oh, that you were wise, that you would consider your latter end. Yes, where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? Friend, if you're wise, you'll stop tonight and you'll consider. Yes, consider. Well, remember and forget not. You know, there is a day coming, friend. If you die without Christ, there is a day coming when you will remember that you sat in this school and you heard the gospel. You will remember that you had the opportunity of accepting Christ as your Savior, and yet in your stubbornness and pride and rebellion against God, you refused. We'll turn to that scripture a little later. But there's one thing God wants us to remember. Can we turn now to the 89th Psalm? Psalmist speaking here in Psalm 89 and verse 47. Remember how short my time is. Remember how short my time is. Let's notice chapter 90 and verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Oh, here it is. Remember how short your time is tonight, friend. Remember how short your time is. Oh, how many of the dear children who we love, the dear young people. How many there are that have said, yes, I want to be saved, but not now. I want to live a little longer. Oh, remember how short your time is. Dear young boy or girl, you have no lease on life. You may not be here tomorrow. I have memories. I've seen little boys and girls lying in a coffin. Yes, I have sad memories. But you know, I have happy memories. And not only little boys and girls lying in a coffin, but young teenagers. Yes. Oh, little boys and girls die. Young people die. Old people die. And you know, if you could live to be 100, wouldn't 100 years be a very short time when you think of the endless eternity? Oh, it says here, the days of our years are 70. Dear young people, you may think that's a long time ahead. It doesn't seem to me. It doesn't seem to me that as a little boy, over 60 years has passed over my life. Oh, I can look back as a little boy. I never dreamed. I never thought about getting old. No. The devil doesn't want you to think about that, does he? But here I am with gray hairs. And you know, there are some in this company that are older than I. A few weeks ago, or rather a couple months ago, my dear father passed away. He was 93 years of age. But he died. Yes, he died. Where is he now? Where is he? Well, I'm thankful I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, he's with the Lord. How about you? If you were to be called into eternity tonight, friend, where would you go? Would you go to be with Christ? Or would you go into that place of utter darkness that God has prepared for everyone who rejects His Son? Oh, remember. Remember how short my time is. What a sad thing it is to think that someone in this room may go out that door refusing to be saved. Some weeks ago, at the close of a gospel meeting in the gospel tent, a man came up to me and he said, "I want to talk to you. I want to be saved." And we went to one side, and he began to tell me of an experience that he had that week. How he was nearly killed. And he recognized it was the act of God that preserved him from being killed in that accident. He realized that God was giving him another opportunity to be saved. He says, "I want to be saved." Well, you know, that made my heart so happy to hear that confession. But you know, when we went to one side and we began to open the Scriptures and to bring before him the simplicity of the way of salvation and how that Christ loved him and died for him, oh, he was glad to hear that. And when after some time we came to this point where he had to make a decision, he said these words, friend, I hope that not one in this company will say what he said. He said, I want to be saved, but not tonight. Oh, friend, God wants you to be saved tonight. We sing that hymn, Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Could we turn over now to the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes? Verse 7. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Ninth verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Oh, how solemn. How true are these words. Truly the light is sweet, a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. Everyone in this room tonight, whether you're saved or not, why, you can agree with this. Isn't it lovely after a dark, rainy day? Isn't it lovely to go outside and see the sun breaking through the clouds? Oh, yes, we all love the light. There's that within us that craves the light. Yes. We don't like to be in the dark. What does God say? Remember. Oh, yes, God wants us to remember, friends, that there is going to be a day of darkness. And, friend, I believe we're living in a day of darkness tonight. Yes. Oh, the tide of evil is rising higher and higher. The Word of God is put to one side. Yes, the Word of God is denied. Oh, friends, if you want the light, you must have God's Word. And, you know, the psalmist could say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Psalm 119, yes. Oh, friends, how wonderful that we have the light of God's Word to warn us of our condition, to warn us of a lost eternity, to show to us the way of salvation. Yes, we have the light of God's Word, but remember, oh, friends, remember, the day is coming when there will be no more gospel preached in this world. When the last gospel will be given, when the Christians will be caught out of this world to be with Christ. Oh, what a day of darkness is coming on this world. You know, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, we have the Lord Jesus speaking. And you know, there in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, why we have that wedding feast. And we have the king going in. And he saw a man in that company who did not have on a wedding garment. He did not have a wedding garment. And you know, the king said, friend. Oh, notice the words, friend. How comest thou hither? And it says the man was speechless. Oh, that man, dear friends, had refused to put on the wedding garment that was provided. And that wedding garment speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, if you think you can get to heaven in your own righteousness, I want to tell you, friends, what will await you. Oh, the King says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, what a solemn end for those who rebel against God and reject the Lord Jesus. Well, now it says here in Ecclesiastes 11, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Yes, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. You know, God, he likes to see his children happy. As a father, and I can speak in the behalf of every father and mother in this company tonight, I can honestly say that every parent who loves their children, they have no greater joy to see their children happy. That's our joy. We're happy to see our children happy. And when they're unhappy, we're unhappy too. Friend, God loves you. He wants to make you happy. He wants to forgive you your sins. He wants to give you a new heart, yes, eternal life. Are you going to accept it or reject it? Oh, friend, if you reject what God is offering tonight, there can be no joy or happiness in your life down here, nor in the next life. No happiness. And so the warning is here. Know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. In the 14th chapter of Romans, 12th verse, it tells us this. We must all give an account of ourselves to God. Oh, how about it? What a terrible thing it would be tonight if we had to stand before God in our own righteousness. Oh, friend, I wouldn't want to stand before God tonight in my righteousness. No. And neither would you. But we must all give an account of ourselves to God. Yes. I remember seeing a young man in a prison. And he was locked up in a cell. And I'll never forget the look on his face. There he was, awaiting the day of his sentence. Oh, friend, tonight, do you know that you're condemned? You are condemned tonight if you're not saved. A few months ago, well, in a certain prison in St. Vincent, the officer in charge says, would you like to speak to four condemned men? There were four condemned men in that prison. They were condemned for murder. Condemned. And I said, yes, I would. I would like to speak to them. And you know, one man, he put his arm like that at me. I don't want it. He wouldn't listen. Wouldn't listen. He turned his head away. He wouldn't listen. The other man listened. And I don't know whether the word penetrated their heart. I trust it did. But they were condemned. And as I thought of those condemned men, friend, I was in earnest. Because if they went to the gallows, if they were executed, as they often do in that island, where would their souls be? Oh, what a terrible thing it is to be in the presence of those who are condemned. Friend, tonight, you're not saved, you're condemned already. The wrath of God is hanging over you. Oh, we want to awaken you to your danger and that you might come to the life. Well, now in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, how good God is. He gives a special warning here, and he says, remember. Oh, there we get that glorious word again. Remember. Now. Oh, now's the time to remember. Unsafe friend, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Oh, yes, now, remember now. A brother brought before us the other day, behold, now is a day of salvation. Yes, it's now. Right now. Remember now thy Creator. Oh, friend, don't let the enemy of your souls deceive you. If you don't remember your Creator, if you don't acknowledge His claims upon your life, I want to warn you, you're going to come under God's wrath. Yes, you'll come under God's wrath. You know, today, why we find criminals, they're not afraid. They kill people, and they go to prison, and they say, well, they can't hang me. They can't hang me. I'll get off. And you know, surprisingly, after a few short years, they're roaming the streets again. This world, friends, I want to tell you, is on its way to destruction. Unrighteousness is on the increase, and it's ruling this world. Oh, I want to warn you, there's a day coming when God is going to put an end to unrighteousness. When God is going to judge this world. To behold this place and turn to Acts chapter 17. Something for us to remember, I believe. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised them from the dead. And so, friends, tonight, this is another truth God wants you to remember. Oh, the times of this ignorance. What was the ignorance? Why, men worshiping idols. Idols. Why, you might say, how silly to worship an idol. One who has hands, who has eyes that can't see, and ears that can't hear. Yes, men are so foolish, they're worshiping idols. This is what took place. And you know, they're doing the same thing today. God says, remember. Yes, it says the time of this ignorance God winked at. But now, oh friend, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he has appointed the day. The day, the hour is set, friends. When God is going to judge your soul. Yes, he has set the day. And he will judge it in righteousness. Yes. There'll be no bribing the judge in that day, friend. No. God is a righteous judge. And he's going to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, then, may we remember this. And so in Ecclesiastes, remember now. Thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And in this chapter we get a little history, surely of man's life. And where does it end, friend? Why, he gets older and older, and it speaks about in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, verse 3. Yes, the hands begin to shake, a sign of old age. Yes, when the eyes begin to get dim. Ah, yes. And then the day when there's that fear, you know. And then the day comes in verse 7 Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Oh, think of that. Yes, the dust shall return to the earth. Your body will go to dust, friend. But what about your soul? It says, shall return unto God who gave it. Do you realize, friend, you have a living soul that can never die? And I want to warn you tonight. You know, God speaks to Jeremiah and he says this word. He says in Jeremiah, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Oh, friends, we want to be faithful to your soul tonight. We want to deliver your soul from eternal hell. And so remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The last verse says, God shall bring every work unto judgment. Yes, he will, whether it be good or evil. Now let's turn over quickly and briefly to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter. And we have here in this chapter a rich man and a poor man. We won't read the whole story. But we know that the poor man's name was Lazarus. Yes, God knew his name, and it's recorded. We don't have the name of the rich man, no. Oh, I'm so happy tonight to know that God knows my name. He has called me by my name, and I'm his. How about it? Does he know your name? Oh, I want to tell you, he's calling you by your name tonight. And he says, come unto me. Who? All ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what a loving God we have. He sees your sin-sick, weary soul, and he says, come, and I will give you rest. Are you going to spurn that invitation? I trust not. Well, this rich man, he fared sumptuously every day. He had everything that money could buy. The poor man Lazarus, why, he was a beggar. Oh, he desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. It never tells he got the crumbs. But it tells us he died. And friend, it tells us where he went after he died. Yes. He went, and we find him in Abraham's bosom, I believe. Abraham is the father of the faithful. Yes, there he is in heaven. It tells the rich man died, and it tells us where he went after he died. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Yes, that's where he went. Now, do you think when a man dies, he doesn't remember anything? Let's notice. Here in hell, verse 23, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, but thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Oh yes, friends, if you're not saved, there is a great gulf fixed. And friends, I want to tell you, you cannot pass that gulf. It's too wide. It's too wide. But oh, tonight I want to tell you, that the cross of our Lord Jesus spans that great gulf. Oh, yes. And if you come to the cross, if you come to the Lord Jesus, oh, friend, you can be saved. But, oh, just think of this man in hell. He was told to remember. Yes, he could remember. He thought about Lazarus, didn't he? He remembered Lazarus. And he asked that Lazarus might go, just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. Oh, friend, what a terrible end for that rich man. Do you desire an end like that? Oh, it's an unhappy end. And that's why we have gospel meetings, friend. Oh, that's why God loves your soul. And he's provided a ransom that will deliver you from eternal death. It will deliver you from that terrible place, which, friend, you will land if you reject Christ. Well, how sad. Now this rich young man, this rich man, he has request denied. There's no water in hell. No water. But you know, he still has that memory. And friend, tonight, if you die in your sins, I want to warn you, you are going to look back and remember the opportunities you had to accept Christ as your Savior. You will remember. Oh, tonight, will you stop and consider your ways? Will you remember that there is a Savior on high in the glory? A Savior who suffered. Yes, he bled and died for you. Remember him. Oh, friends, remember him. Well, now, this man, he wanted Lazarus to go and warn his brother. But you know, that request was denied because they have Abraham and the prophets. Friend, tonight you have the Word of God. And if you don't believe God's Word, why, there's no hope for you. Now let's turn over briefly to the 23rd chapter of Luke. And in this chapter we have our blessed Savior on the cross of Calvary. We have him there suffering on that cross at the hands of wicked men. And verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What a lovely prayer. His last prayer, friend. The last opportunity he had to pray. And he prayed, "Lord, remember me." And friend, tonight, that request was granted to him. The Lord did remember him. And he could say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Oh, will you pray that prayer to the Lord tonight? "Lord, remember me." Oh, he could say to that other thief, "We receive the due reward of our deed. But this man had done nothing amiss." Oh, and he owned Jesus as Lord. Friend, tonight, that's what you need to do to be saved. Own Jesus as Lord. And you can be saved right now. Right now. And so this man, I believe he was the first man that died knowing where he was going. The one, dear friends, who never told a lie, told him where he was going. And oh, what joy must have filled that man's heart to have that assurance from the lips of the Lord Jesus that he was going to be with him. This is our hope tonight, friends. We're going to be with Christ. How about, are you going to be there? Now I'd like to just perhaps briefly notice the last chapter in the Word of God, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, friends, just think of the love of God in closing His Word with these words. Yes, the last chapter. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is a bride? Thank God I'm part of the bride. Every believer in this company tonight is part of the bride. And every believer in this company tonight joins with the Lord Jesus and say to you, come now. Come now. Whosoever will may come. Oh, can you doubt God's love any longer? Friend, God has proven His love to you. And now the responsibility rests upon you. I would plead with you tonight, accept Christ as your Savior. And if you do, oh, if you lay hold of your hand of faith upon the Lord Jesus, I want to assure you, you have eternal life. But oh, if you've never laid hold of that hand of faith, if you still reject, I want to warn you, you're going to land on a lost eternity. As we sing number 11, I'd like to just tell briefly a little story in connection with him. It says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? Some years ago, after a gospel meeting in Sambro, Nova Scotia, a fisherman's wife came up to me and said, I want to tell you a story. Perhaps some of you have heard this story. I want to repeat it tonight. She said, my husband and I were out fishing, and we're on our way back into the harbor, approaching the harbor. And as we approached the harbor, the motor stopped. And the boat began to drift towards that rocky coastline along Sambro, Nova Scotia. And those who know it would dread to be in a position like that. But she said we weren't afraid. Why, we just picked up the anchor and threw it overboard. That's what an anchor is for. It's to stop a boat from drifting on the rocks. And so they threw the anchor overboard. But she said the boat continued to drift. And then we realized that the anchor wasn't attached to the boat. It went down to the bottom of the ocean, and the boat continued to drift towards the rocks. Oh, friend, is that your condition? Are you like that? Can you sing this hymn, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll? I want to say, if you've never laid hold with the hand of faith and received the Lord Jesus your Savior, you're still drifting with the tide that is going to land you into a lost eternity. Oh, tonight, lay hold with the hand of faith. An anchor is no good unless it's attached. It's not enough to know the gospel unless you have faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, God was good to those people, and the fisherman was able to start his boat again, the motor, and they didn't land on the rocks. Yes, God is good. And they got safely into the harbor. Oh, friend, God is good to your soul tonight and to mine. But don't despise His goodness. Don't despise His goodness. Receive tonight the Lord Jesus. Don't go out that door until you have confessed with your lips His precious name. Well, we sing then this hymn number 11. Will your anchor...